listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
In a week where the U's announced themselves finally. I'm talking and getting absolutely nothing out of that one. That was weird. That's in radio terms, that's what we call a talkover, and it failed miserably. What I was saying, in case you didn't hear me, is in a week where the U's announced themselves finally in League Two against the Carlisle team that only last year were playing in League One, a 5-0 win there. And Cambridge City, the success of the fun day didn't quite transfer to the on-pitch activities, and they failed to score for only the second time this season as they lost at home to Weymouth. And a controversial penalty just before the interval left St Neots with a draw at home to Poulton Rovers. That's a great name, Poulton Rovers, despite piling on the pressure. And after a heavy defeat in the local derby on Monday, Histon finished the game against Slough with only 9 men. But fortunately they got a point, which is only their second point of the week. So we'll start off with, I think, Cambridge United. Let's start with Cambridge United. So, 5-0.
I know.
And you missed
there.
It.
And I wasn't there for it. Sort of kind of sums it up, really, that one of the best performances of the season, and I decided to go at a family wedding, but I saw the goals on the Football League show after I got in from the reception last night, and they looked like very good goals, and from the updates I was getting from the ground, from Lynching, it seemed a fantastic performance. And especially with, obviously, two new signings came in this week in defence, shored things up, and we kept that clean sheet, you know, second one of the season.
We did. It's like, it was like last year all over again. No, I mean, it is a pity you missed it, because it was a stunning performance. And I think I predicted exactly what Money was going to say at the end of it, because we were talking after the game, and I said it was kind of a reward for last week and for the excellent performance where we got nothing from last week. But we just looked at, you know, considering we were, I know we talked about, you know, Apaya is fantastic and he's wonderful and everyone recognises that, and everyone has asked the same question: what happens when he goes in January? Are we likely to be able to get him back, and so on? And you know, we said last, I think the week before last, that we're probably not going to get him back if he carries on playing a game, playing like he does, because he'll end up higher up the leagues or he'll be taken back by Palace. But with Dunk out and Apaya out, it was kind of like, you know, what we were going to do. And as you said, we had both, and it's Matteo Lanzoni,
yeah,
who started his career with Sampdoria as a junior and played in played with a number of Serie B clubs. So he's played football at a pretty high level. And I think, you know, he was a bit of a revelation. But I think even more so, Michael Nelson, who came from Hibs. He was stunning. I mean, Robbie Simpson credited him with you know, a large part of the performance for the game, and I think picking out the five goals is the easy part of it. But you know, the clean sheet for the first, you know, for the first time, we looked like a solid defensive team. No disrespect to, you know, to the players we've got, and I think, you know, I feel sorry for Tom Bonner, who's now gone out to Dover Athletic, yeah, isn't it? I think, yeah, he's gone to. But, you know, he'd played all the games and hadn't, you know, I don't think he played badly, but I think, you know, looking at Michael Nelson, I keep calling Charlie for some reason. I don't know whether Charlie is someone. Willie Nelson was the other one that came on. But I think, you know, he is in a different class. And I think he's a massive addition to the team, especially since he's not on loan.
Yeah.
So that can only be a really good thing. But generally, you know, thinking back, I don't think there was a poor performance from anyone on the team. It was a fantastic all-round performance, good in both boxes, good going forward, good defending, good coming back. Generally just a good all-round game, although interestingly, for the first 15 minutes it didn't look anything like that. They played reasonably well, and it was only when Diallo scored, and it was a good finish, but it was a kind of a shot from nothing. If you've seen it on the league football show, it was from about 4 or 5 yards outside the box, down low on the left-hand side. And it was kind of those, one of those ones that, you know, you wouldn't be surprised to see the keeper save it, you wouldn't be surprised to see it go wide, but it went in. And then the second goal was Simpson's looping header, which I'm not... Do you think he meant it? Or was it just a general header?
I like to think he did, from watching it. You know, it was really good build-up play from what I saw from the highlights, and it's good to see. I think, along with the experience that I've been crying out for on this show since the beginning of the season, you know, with Michael Nelson coming into the squad, I said that was one thing that we were missing. But then we also had that Football League experience up top in the first place in Robbie Simpson, who I said deserved a start because I thought he'd done pretty well in the sub appearances he had been making. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that's a little bit of Football League class, a little Football League know-how there. And whichever way, it was a decent finish. And it's something that he certainly deserved, because I think he's been really unlucky in recent weeks with chances he has had.
Yeah,
and have either been saved or they've hit the bar. So.
And I think we said this a couple of weeks back, is that, you know, we know he's a class player, we know he's, you know, he's capable and has played well above this level, and he's exactly what United needs, some league experience. Money compared, you know, United and Luton, and looked, I think, eight of the team that play regularly for Luton have played in the league, but I think only two or three of the United players have played in the league. So, you know, getting that experience in has been vital, and I think it was good to see him finally find his feet. Whether it had to do with the fact that he got a rare start. I mean, rare, we were only five games into the season, but he's not, he's been there as a sub for all but one. I think he played from the start in an earlier game, but with Elliot and Apaya playing so well together, it's been relegated to a substitution role, and perhaps it's just taken him a bit of time to get into it. He's been carrying an injury, and he still says it's bothering him from time to time, and he missed most of pre-season. But and then the second one, which was in from Elliot, which was another well finished goal. 3-0 up at half time, and you know it wasn't a question of whether they come back. It was obviously all over at half time. Only because we would have had to play so much. You know, we would have had to change the way we played completely to give them a vague chance. Because every time we broke and went forward, and we've always been good on the counter, but every time we went forward, we looked like scoring another goal, and they threatened probably once or twice during the entire game. And then we were kind of a bit surprised. I don't know whether it was foot off the pedal, whether they tried a bit harder or whatever it was, but we didn't score again until much later on in the game, when eventually Jaden Stockley came on, loan signing from Bournemouth.
Yep.
Bournemouth,
yep,
I believe. And nearly got his hat-trick in the last 15 minutes of the game. And that, you know, they were both good goals. The first one he met with his... Well, they're both headed goals.
Yeah, they were. And his first one was a really good goal, actually. I mean, the goalkeeper had sort of come off his line, and Stockley, the ball had come across, and Stockley got in between the goalkeeper and the defender and headed it over. It was a really good goal. Mm. You know, excellent movement by... from, you know, what the TV replays showed. And, he's obviously been brought in for a reason. Richard Money's obviously seen something in him, and Jez spoke about it when he signed, you know, and I've had him watched a few times as well. And it's down to him, really. It's down to him about what, you know, if he comes in here and he makes an impression, especially with Kwezi going in January one way or the other, I imagine, he's got a chance to have his loan moved up to the end of the season, and he could come in and be, you know, the replacement for him, possibly. You know, we've got some good options there, and hopefully with Adam Cunnington getting a little bit more match sharp, and maybe Delano Samyuk is the same, you know, we could have about four or five strikers there all champing at the bit come January.
Yeah.
Ready to see us through, and we might not have to sign another one.
And Richard Money said, you know, that the good thing is all four strikers have each got two goals now, which is, you know, that's exactly what you want, every striker to be scoring goals. And then the final goal, I have to commend Bobby Joe Taylor. I was going to think I got the name wrong then, Bobby Joe Taylor, who came on again probably about 10 minutes from the end. And he ran halfway across the pitch to take that free kick. He was going to make sure he got there, and he whipped it in low. And again, Stockley met it fairly close to the ground, but from where we were, and put it in. Stockley scoring two is great, but getting Bobby Joe Taylor on the pitch and him looking like, I don't think he'll play a regular part. I think he'll get bit parts as a substitute. But it's good to see someone again who's coming through the youth. And Richard talks about this in the post-match interview as well. It's good to see someone from the youth setup coming through again, and it gives us that base for a long time going forward, hopefully.
I think one of the interesting things now is, we talk about the youth academy and things like this, and we haven't really had a youth player come through in the past recent seasons while we've been in the conference. Yes, you've had your Hughes, your Berries, your Coulsons and your McCauleys, of course, but after that the conveyor belt was kind of dried up. Yeah. There's not been too many that have really pushed it, but Bobby Joe Taylor seems to be one that who's got his opportunity, seems to have improved a lot, and if you get assisted on your debut in the Football League, it's a good start, and perhaps he's ready to make the step up. Yeah. if he applies himself and he works hard, and he's got a decent left foot on him, then the sky's the limit for him.
I was going to say, well, this time last year he was actually on loan at St Neots.
Yeah.
But put it in perspective, a year ago he was in five levels below, and now he's made his debut.
Yeah, and
in
I think
the Football League and gets an assist.
There's Liam Hurst as well on the fringes, looking good in pre-season as well.
Yeah, so. And there's a few of them on that fringe level now, but you've got to make that step up. Your Football League now, if you really want to carve out a career for yourself in football, you have got that platform in league, with us being in the league, and if you apply yourself and you play well and you work hard, you certainly will get the chance, as it proved yesterday. So here's hoping that he's going to make the grade and he's going to step up and be another United.
I think they will continue. I'd like to be proved wrong, but I think they'll continue to play bit parts. Hurst and Bobby Joe Taylor to start off with, and there's also Sam Whittle. Yes. Who's joined us, and he's not from our youth academy system, but he's a young player. Let's listen to what Richard had to say following the game. I'm having a nightmare.
Could have asked for a lot more today.
Well, I think when your objectives obviously to win the game and then score goals and keep a clean sheet, we've been able to do all those three today. I think. We were much better in both boxes today. But I think the result was earned not just today, but last weekend as well. And, we just tried to keep them focused and make them understand that if we keep the work ethic and we keep striving to get better, then hopefully we'll be fine, and I'm sure we will. But today was a really good performance from pretty much everyone in the group. And very good in both penalty boxes, which is crucial if you want to win games.
If I can be perverse on a day when you score five goals, I'd like to mention the clean sheet, actually, because it was a really solid platform on which the victory was built.
Yeah, I think we've really tried to sort of approach the games with some real sort of drive and purpose, and just maybe we've opened ourselves up at times and been a little bit susceptible to the counter-attack. So today we just tried to rein it in a little bit, but still give our forward players the freedom to go and score. And you talk about game plans and tactics and whatever, and they are part of it for sure. And the most pleasing thing is that we carried out pretty much most of that almost to the letter today. It was good, and two new players in the defence and Jay coming on for his debut as well, so they can all be pleased with their contributions and some more good signs for the future. That's really what we're trying to achieve.
Good signs for the future, Bobby Joe Taylor, with the free kick for the fifth goal as well.
We want to continue to develop our own players, and I think with seven substitutes, it means that people like Bobby Taylor and Liam Hurst and Sam Whittle, who's not one of our own but still a young player finding his way in the game, you want to try and get those two of those on the bench, really, as much as you can. So part of the reason for some of the decisions this week, we want room to develop our young players, as the club has done in the past, and Bobby's been very good in training this week, and and deserved his place on the bench, no matter whether he was a young player or not. Yeah, his first touch of the ball was a good one. You'll remember it.
And this on the back of a side without Kwesi Appiah and Harrison Dunk.
Yeah, look, I think the good thing is that our four strikers have all scored two goals apiece now. You know, I think it's always dangerous to rely on one person to score the goals, but we seem to have four strikers in pretty good form. Yeah, Kwesi and Harrison were the two casualties from a very bruising encounter last weekend.
All in all, a good afternoon and a bit of turning on the style as well.
Yeah, look, I don't think that's too important, to be honest. I think we just want to keep getting better. And, you know, I honestly think the only poor performance we've had has been York away, and we got away with it. And people will say we were two up on that night, but we did get away with the result. There's no doubt about it. And as I said, performances tend to turn into results. They don't always. But I think if the performance levels continue to remain good, then by and large, you will end up getting the right results. And I think today was a case in point.
I love the fact that by and large, you get the results, but not always, which is perfectly true. And that was a classic example was last week, you know, when we played, you know, really, really well. And as Richard pointed out last week, we actually got, you know, the fans gave the team a standing ovation, which when you're on the end of a losing performance, is always impressive to get. And I think, you know, we deserved way more than we got for that last week. And, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at some of the forums, and some of the kind of expected comments came out. Oh, they were dirty. They wasted time. But at the end of the day, it's a tactic that a lot of teams will use at this level, and they did it fantastically well. And the fact that they were up until yesterday top of the league says that, you know, they're doing it right. Even if it's not pretty and not attractive football, it's the way some teams will win games. Mm. Given that they were there as the one of the most likely teams to go down from League Two this year. You know, all credit to them. And I think, you know, the reward for this week, for last week, was kind of carried over into this week. So you had a question, Sticker.
I did indeed. I mean, you know, 5-0 obviously sounds fantastic, you know, and obviously, you know, it was a good performance, but the week before it was a good performance. And, you know, so has this result been coming since the start of the season, do you think?
It's difficult to say. I mean, I think, you know, we won the opening game of the season,
because Richard Money has always said that this side is better than people, you know, because remember he said a few weeks ago, oh, you know, there seems to be a mentality that, oh, we're back in the Football League and we're just happy to be here. No, and he said the players are better than that. And so do you think this result was on the cards?
I think, judging from what we saw last week, then yes. I didn't see the York game, but apparently, judging from what happened at York, then no. So, you know, it's always difficult to tell. I mean, we were 2-0 up, we gave away the lead, and apparently we were lucky to not lose that game. I think it's not, from what I've seen, it's not about the skill level of the players. It's not about the way necessarily the team plays together. A lot of it is about learning, you know, a slightly different game at a higher level, and learning to hold the ball up and learning to do something intelligent with it when you're getting towards the end of a game, which is something we've always struggled with, you know, holding the ball up and making sure we don't give opponents chances. But certainly based on last week, yeah, it's been on the cards. I mean, for 1 week. But I think, you know, one of the things that's kind of, first 4 games of the season, there's been a lot of, oh, you know, a good performance, we've got to prove
That's
ourselves,
what I mean.
We've got to prove ourselves. And I think, you know, okay, we're still going to lose games, you know, so it's not like we're not going to, you know, that's not going to announce us as a, you know, 100% team from now on. I think what it does announce us is that, you know, we are a good team and we can put goals past, you know, the very best. I mean, you know, put it into perspective, they were a League One side last year, so they've only just come down. And, you know, they've kept a number of their players, and they've kept a large number of their players from last year who were playing in League One. So I think, you know, they may have had a poor start to the season, but, you know, they're on paper, they're a good side, and we didn't just beat them. You know, I mean, the manager's comment in the league paper today was that, you know, it was disgusting and he was appalled. And, you know, you've got to feel sorry for the travelling fans who came all the way from Carlisle. It's a long way to get beaten 5-0. And, you know, not you can't even argue it was unlucky. You can't even argue you were robbed in some way, or, you know, you only played, you got two sending offs, you only played with Naomi. You know, they were beaten fair and square by a team that just played them off the park. You know, that's the way it goes.
I think performances so far this season have been very good in the whole. As I say, I wasn't at York, where we weren't, by all accounts, that good. But, you know, from the games that I have seen, Plymouth, I thought we were bang average. I didn't think there was parts of it where we played well, and there was parts where we still looked like a conference team playing up a team a level higher. And then you go to, like, the cup game, and the cup game is just a one-off where the team can do whatever they want, you know, they've got no pressure on themselves, and all they're expected to do is lose, let's be honest with you. You're always expected to lose against a club that's in the Championship. But, you know, we were thoroughly unlucky up at Birmingham, and we probably should have won the game, if we were honest. And then you go to the Portsmouth game, the away game, and, you know, now that is a big club at this level. And we didn't disgrace ourselves at all. And there, you know, the only thing you can say from there is, again, we showed that naivety. You know, the first goal was just a good goal for them, but, you know, the second goal was total diabolical, because, you know, it was terrible defending. And, you know, we get a goal back, and then we don't really create enough to go out and win that game. And I think that's where money stems from. It's the fact that, hold on a minute, we've got to wake up here, because we can beat these teams, you know, especially when they're down to 10 men. You can get something out of a game if you apply yourself. And sometimes they were just sort of kind of like, you know, we're playing Portsmouth at Fratton Park here. I think it's more naivety and inexperience. And you know, now it's settled down, and we were thoroughly unlucky against Morecambe last week, as we've said all the time. And Morecambe played a brand of football, because they know they're not one of the biggest clubs in this league, and as you know, they were tipped to go down at the start of the season, so they've got to play a brand of football that's going to bring them points to stay in this league. And as you say, you know, it's effective, it does the job, and you applaud them for it. Should we have beaten them? Yeah, we should have done. We should have demolished them, to be fair, because it was the best second half performance I've seen in a while. You know, we played them off the park, and we were desperately unlucky. And, you know, if it was for, say, one or two different refereeing decisions, we probably would have got something.
And I think the great thing about yesterday's victory is we came off the back of a Morecambe game that we didn't get anything out of but deserved to, with, as you say, probably the best performance of the season, if not, you know, a good long time in that second half. And we came out and carried that on. And, you know, for the first 15 minutes, we were under the cosh a bit. But after the Diallo goal, again, we put in a performance that was as good as anything I've seen in a good couple of years.
Yeah, consistency is going to be the key,
exactly,
isn't it, in this league? If we're consistent and we play well, sort of, all right, you can't play well every week, but if you play well 8 times out of 10 in this league, you'll go somewhere. But we've got two tough games coming up. The Johnson's Paint Trophy, nobody really cares about, unless it was Peterborough.
Now, hang on a sec. So when we win that one, are you going to change your mind about that one?
Yeah. See, I'm playing it all down. I remember the trophy last year. If I knock this trophy, you know, this competition, we might go for another trip to Wembley. So this Johnson's Paint Trophy, it's like the rubbish. We're going to lose 3-0 Crawley. Nothing's going to happen. What a waste of our time it is.
Haven't another Cambridgeshire club actually got it at the moment, should I just say? So wouldn't it be quite nice to actually, you know, like, go yoink
It would
take it off.
It would. I don't think we will, though, Chris.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I'm debating whether or not to go down to the Crawley game on Tuesday, isn't it? You say the ground's not worth going to, is it?
Garbage. horrible ground.
Just like the town. Just like the
horrible ground. Horrible.
Can we say that? Are we allowed to? When it's true.
It's fine.
It's a horrible ground.
It's a concrete jungle. That's all it is in there.
Okay. And then, of course, we've got the Newport game on the Monday, which is that, you know, the great for the travelling fans. I'm guessing not too many people will go to that one Monday night down to Newport. Maybe. The coach leaves, I think, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I might get back at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I was going to say. And there's no other way of doing it, because you can't go by train, because you can't get back unless you're prepared to stay overnight somewhere. You can't get back to Cambridge by the time you get back to London. football, you know, this football should be for the fans, and you do wonder about the mentality of, you know, one of our biggest travels in the year is, you know, it's got to be delayed because of the NATO summit. Why NATO are having Newport for a NATO summit? I bet they were loving that one. But you know, why you can't then say, well, actually, obviously, putting it on a Monday night's a really stupid idea because the Cambridge fans are going to struggle to get down here, and not put it on a different Saturday somewhere. There must be a better way of fitting that one in. A bank
Luton
holiday
on a
game
Monday night,
you know,
would have been a much better, like,
yeah,
you know, it's not too far,
exactly,
away,
rearrange something. So it'd be interesting to see how many people travel. I can't believe that I'm going to go, but we'll see on the day. Let's listen to what Robbie Simpson had to say following the game.
Okay, well, Robbie, after the game last Saturday, dream result really today. 5 goals, the win, and more importantly, a clean sheet.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I thought we played well last Saturday, especially in the second half, and we were perhaps unfortunate. And I think this type of result's been coming, actually. I think we played well in every game, bar probably York, and I think this result has been coming, and just so happens it was today, and hopefully now that's sort of set a little standard for ourselves to maintain, and maybe the rest of the league has seen that result and thought we're good enough and we can actually challenge.
Yeah, it's made a real statement, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, big statement. I'm sure teams won't come here now thinking we're the newly promoted team and perhaps fancying themselves to get stuff. They know they're going to have to be at their best to get something here.
Of course, I'm kind of under a bit of pressure the opening 20 minutes, but I thought as a team coped with it pretty well.
Yeah, very well. I've got a single out. Nels at the back, I think he's made a huge difference today, and everybody looked organised and knew their jobs, and to be honest with you, even though they had that pressure, they didn't really look like scoring. It was up to us at the other end to do the job. I'm delighted to do it on the pitch today.
Right, and I thought the partnership with you, Tom Elliott, worked really well. You looked to be really enjoying yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, we've known each other for quite a while, actually. When I lived up in Leeds, when I played for Huddersfield, we had a few players at Huddersfield who were in the same Leeds youth team, so I've met him, and before we went back to pre-season at our separate clubs, we'd meet up and have five-a-sides together and stuff like that. So I've known him, so we've got a little bond, and it's whether we could sort of take that bond onto the pitch and in training, and today I think you've seen that we have, yeah.
Excellent, and obviously giving the head coach something to think about in the games coming up too in quick succession with Johnson's Paint Trophy on Tuesday in terms of competition for places up top.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. I think all of us, including Jaden now, has scored too. So, yeah, it's competition for places and it's healthy. Like I say, I'm sure the manager might look to try and get as many of us in the team as possible in terms of formations and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's always good to have your striker scoring, and I'm sure all four of us will want to play and score more goals.
Have you set yourself any short and long-term targets for the season?
To be honest with you, my main aim coming back here to a club that I love, I just want us to get promoted. So whether I play or don't, I just want the club to get promoted. Personally, it doesn't matter anymore. I've been around the block a few times now. I'm 29 years old. I want to finish my career here, and I want to finish my career here being successful with this football club and playing as high as this football club can go, which I think is a long way. So that's it. Personally for me, if the team gets as high up the leagues as possible, with me still being around it, that would be brilliant for me.
We were just laughing. Apologies for what sounds like a train going past at the end of that. That was the Carlisle kit being rolled down the corridor on the outside. Now we're in the league. Everything's a bit more official when we do the post match stuff, and we're actually in Richard Money's office where when we do that. And there's the undercover passageway that goes through the stand. So anything that happens outside there, I had to edit out loads of door slamming and some choice language at one stage, which I believe came from a Cambridge player, but I can't say who.
Tell us off air who.
Just interestingly, I just want to play this. This is Jaden Stockley just talking about his goal in a what we would call a very understated fashion.
Yeah, it was a good cushion to come on to. 3-0 up, the lads have done brilliant. and just thought it was a good opportunity to run around, hopefully get a goal and just contribute to the team's already great performance.
I hope the plan is a bit more than just run around. But nice lad, and 15 minutes and he nearly scored a hat-trick.
Seems a fair, you know, tactical analysis. Just go on and run. You know, yeah, just run them dogged. I'm sure that'll work. There you go.
Just going back to the performance. I mean, we talked about this. 5-0 would have been easy. I mean, you can pick out the goal scorers, and there were some good goals there, and there was some offense. You know, good attacking performance, and it's good to see that Tom Elliott compare up with Simpson and do as well as he does with Apaya. It's good to see that you know, Dunk is obviously missed, but you know, we can score goals and play well. And I think Richard always gets very worked up when people pick individuals, and you know, he's quite sensitive to the fact that people say, oh yeah, what are you going to do when such and such is back, and Kwesi Opara is the obvious one. But you know, I think again, all four strikers have scored two goals, you know, what more can you say than that?
I agree with you. We better read out our text from Lynchy, hadn't we?
Yeah, go on then.
He's waiting for it. So he said, fantastic result yesterday and a nice game to just relax and watch once we were two up. I wouldn't even say we played amazingly well despite scoring five goals. First 20 minutes, we couldn't really get into the game, but once we got the first, there was only going to be one winner. I must say, Carlisle were an extremely poor team going forward and defending. Mark my words, the signing of Nelson will turn out to be the most crucial and best signing for us of the season. Very experienced, no-nonsense defender and has all the leadership qualities our backline needs. Diallo, Yaya Toure as he calls him, had a great game despite a few wandering passes. He played well alongside Champion, who never puts a foot wrong. And that's a good point there, actually, because I think Champion's really stepped up
as captain
to the plate
absolutely.
This season. Yeah, he's been fantastic
absolutely.
So far. Great to see Simpson score twice, but I was gutted for Elliott. He worked, I won't use that on there, and deserved a goal.
Jolly hard.
Yes, very hard. I'm now fully confident of our strike force now. Dickie Dosh saw that Cunnington DSY were not cutting it up front for us, and he shipped them out online and brings in Stockley, who scores twice in 15 minutes and showed some quality in him. I think it's a bit harsh on Cunnington because he never really looked match fit, but Samuel didn't really, bless him. He tried hard, and he had his 20-minute beast mode, as we called it, where he was wound up and got going, and then didn't do a lot after that, really. So
It's interesting. I think we did play well. I think we played well, and we deserved a 5-0 win because we played well. I agree that Michael Nelson is going to be, I think, a massive signing. I think Diallo is another one. I think if we can calm him down, because we were just talking before the game whether he's picked up two or possibly even three yellow cards so far this season, which, given the disciplinary record of Cambridge, is a bit of an out of step. And I think, you know, if he carries on like that, we'll lose him to a yellow card count, if not red cards at some stage, because the first one was for dissent, yesterday's was for dissent. I think, you know, we don't need that. But having said that, he is solid and is, you know, he's a fantastic addition to the team. Fantastic. Yeah. Let's just quickly, Michael Nelson, let's hear what he had to say about the game as well.
An excellent team performance and a fantastic result.
Bit of a shock start, to be fair. You know, Carlisle haven't started great this season, but you know, still expecting a very tough game. And I thought they started the game probably better than us. They had a couple of crosses into the box, free kicks, and they had two or three corners and had us under a little bit of pressure. But we worked on defending crosses and stuff all week, and you know, I think that showed today.
It seemed to turn a bit on the Diallo goal.
It did, yeah. The goal was, you know, that's what happens. You get that goal and they just go back into the shelf and then think, you know, not again. And, you know, we really kicked on from there. And to come in at 3-0 at half-time was brilliant. And then, you know, it just sort of rounded off with the two goals second half.
And you've, of course, only been at the club but a week. How easy has it been to fit in?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, the lads have been very welcoming. You know, obviously, when you don't know many of the lads when you come in, it's always a little bit difficult. But, you know, within two, three days, it's all fine and laughing and carrying on and joking, and you know, that just makes it a little bit easier now to get your feet under the table. So now it's been a good transition, and you know, a brilliant start.
And it'd be easy to pick out the five goals at one end, but of course, possibly more importantly, the clean sheet at the other and a solid defensive performance.
Yeah, that's what we said at half time when we came in 3-0 up. Make sure we keep a clean sheet, have a little bit of pride. You know, could have won 5-1, 5-2, and it still would have been a great result, but you know, it just gives you that bit of confidence that you can keep clean sheets, and it lets the attacking players know that, you know, if you can't keep a clean sheet, you don't need five to win. You might just win with one or two.
And it was good, you know, to get those clean sheets, having been so used to it at the start of last season in the conference, and really never looked like doing it this season. Miss Miller, definitely. Mm. But it'd be interesting now when he comes back. There's a lot of competition for that, you know, for that back line now.
I think Miller will probably go out on loan for a month because he's been out for so long to get match fit. Nelson's only on a 1-year deal, but I think he'll be. I can't wait to see him play. I think it'll be Dagenham. I think I'm going to next, so I'll probably see him there. One quick thing, Lynch. He says Stockley is like a Rendell type player. Do you agree with that? Does he play like Rendell used to?
I haven't really thought about it, but yeah, he does probably. I mean, we've not seen much of him, but yeah. So we've got Johnson Paint Trophy, Crawley Town on Tuesday. We've got Newport the following Monday and Dagenham the following Saturday. All away games, so a fair bit of travelling before we next get to see a home game. And we just have to mention Luton, of course, because they lost. And in style as well. Keeper threw it into his own net, according to Neil Hutchinson. And they are now 18th in the league. And let's just see where we are. Oh, that'll be 9th in the league.
Ooh, that's all right, isn't it?
So after this, we'll come back
on the 20th.
yeah. After this, we'll come back and we'll talk about St Neots.
You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
And that's just thrown me. I was just reading a text.
Where's my jingle?
hang on a second. You want your jingle? Hang on. Let's find you your jingle. Hang on. Some people just moan because they don't get their jingle. That was bad news, actually, because Steve can't make it for a phone-in, unfortunately, so we're going to have to cover Cambridge City as well.
So that means we've got to listen to 15 minutes of Chris.
We'll try and cut him short, but here you go. Here's Chris.
I feel a lot better now that I've had my jingle. Thank you for my fix. It's been a bit of an odd week for St Neots. A very good win midweek away at Corby Town. A very hard place to go. And they lost their last season. I can't remember the score. I think it was they lost their that was it. They lost 4-0 away at Corby Town last season. That was when they had the likes of the Hendry brothers playing for them and all that type of thing, who are no longer there now. I'd just like to point that out. But fast forward to Tuesday night. Yeah, good solid win. First half pretty even. It was the Saints who took the lead, and then Corby Town pegged them back. But second half, they just absolutely turned it on, St Neots, and they ended up winning 3-1. A very well-deserved win it was. Yesterday, at home to Poulton Rovers, promoted... I'm just going to get the exact league correct here, just bear with me. Division 1 South and West playoff winners last season, Poulton Rovers, so there you go.
What? Where is it?
I don't know where Poulton
is. You're not doing your homework there. I'll find out where Poulton Rovers is.
I'm sorry.
Go on then.
I'm afraid my geography doesn't stretch to...
What league are they from?
They're from Division 1 South West, and they won the playoffs in that.
Sounds like a village league or something. They just rock up out of nowhere.
When I was reading the report for it, and it said it mentioned Poulton, and I figured Poulton was actually the manager's name. I was looking for who you were playing.
Fair enough. you know, both sides came into the game on the back undefeated. St Neots, two wins. Coming into the game, Poulton with two draws. You could tell right from the off what Poulton were going to do. Again, a bit like a few weeks ago against Weymouth, they came and basically sort of said, right, as soon as you venture over the halfway line, we're going to stop you and we're not going to let you play any football. Okay, fair enough. And that happened for the first 40 minutes of the game, pretty much. Every time St Neots ventured over the halfway line, they were just being closed down. Their number six in particular was quite a feisty player. He got booked in the second half, and there were a couple of challenges in the first half where you probably thought that probably could have been a yellow card, but either way, you know, it's that type of football. You know, they're coming to come to St. Neots, meant to be one of the teams who are going to do something this season. It worked for the first 40 minutes. You know, they negated St. Neots and they just didn't allow St. Neots to play their normal attack and flowing football. There were several reasons, I think, that St. Neots couldn't get their game going. And that comes down to Nathan Freyter and Lewis Hilliard, both of them out injured. Lewis Hilliard, I spoke to him yesterday, and he thinks he's going to be out for at least another couple more weeks, which is a real shame. Nathan Freyter picked up a knock in the Corby game on Tuesday night, came off after 25 minutes. And they're two players, you know. Lewis Hilliard, you know, voted... Well, I gave him the players... Well,
you gave him the players' player of the year.
I gave him the
despite
player
not being
year.
A player.
I gave him the player of the year award last season.
And you know what you get from Lewis Hilliard. You know, he always puts a shift, and he always, you know, works incredibly hard, and can sometimes bring out that little bit of, you know, quality that you need. Nathan Freyter has been a bit of a revelation, sorry, so far this season. And again, similar. Lewis Hilliard, with his play, is quite disciplined, whereas Nathan Freyter has just been given that free roll. He can roam all the way along the back four and just pop up wherever he wants, pretty much. And that was missing from this game. That's what the Saints needed. We, in terms of our play, we were too restrictive to the formation that we had. We tried going down the wings, but it just didn't work. You know, we were playing with two wing backs effectively, in Mason Spence. And basically, it just didn't work for the first 40 minutes. Poulton had the much better chances because they kept hitting St. Neots on the break. Their top goal scorer, Nick Mukuti, was looking very lively. He had a couple of very good opportunities.
It's a great name, Mukuti.
Yes. It is a fantastic name.
Especially Nick Mukuti.
To be fair, he looked, he scored three goals before the game yesterday in the league, and he looked bright and he looked on it. But having said that, the end of the first half, it was St. Neots who took the lead. A very, very questionable penalty decision.
Yeah, I was just reading in the non-league paper. It says, I can't find it now. It says Kyle Phillips rashly brought down Ben Ford and Drew Roberts confident. And you kind of think, well, hang on, it can't be that controversial if a keeper brings down a player. So what happened?
But from where I was sitting, the ball sort of, it was one of those like diagonal balls in, and Ben Ford chased after it. Now, again, it all happens in a flash and all that type of thing, and referees obviously have a similar view and they just go with what they say, linesmen as well. I thought the keeper actually got the ball, and as he got the ball, hit it away. And I thought Ben Ford sort of jumped over him to get out the way of the onrushing keeper. The referee interpreted that as the keeper got the player rather than the ball. And, to be fair, you know, Drew Roberts still had to put away the penalty, and he did that comfortably. But at half time, the general opinion around me was that we should be winning this 1-0. A draw would have been more than fair, because while Poulton were playing very, very defensive, it was good defensive play, and they were doing it very effectively. But something needed to change at half time. You know, they needed to bring on someone who's going to freshen it up a little bit, and they did that. They brought on Lorenzo Ferrari.
Ferrari.
I know, it's a fantastic again. Nick Mukuti and Lorenzo Ferrari on the same pitch, but his game again is, he just loves to get the ball. He just loves to run, and the game needed that injection of pace. And in the second half, it was a much better performance overall from both sides, because in a way, the fact that St. Neots brought on Lorenzo Ferrari and he was making them work a bit more, it opened up the game, and thus Poulton were able to create, you know, more chances from their own play, not just on the break, but just, you know, from their own general play, because the game, like I say, was opened up a lot more. Mason Spence has a really, really good chance after 60 minutes. Good run on the right-hand side. Unfortunately, it was straight at the keeper, which, you know, you sort of think, oh, either side it probably would have gone in, but it was straight at the keeper. Lorenzo Ferrari had a chance cleared off the line. But again, Nick Mukuti was, again, causing all sorts of problems. I know. was causing all sorts of problems up front. Compared to the first half, where it was, very close and very... Yeah, bit nitty gritty. Yeah, second half overall was in my opinion, much more open. Sorry, Poulton did start to get a little bit niggly, probably about between 55 and 60 minutes. They started to pick up several yellow cards. Again, the number six I mentioned earlier got his yellow card then. And approaching 79, 80 minutes, again, the general feeling was, oh, you know, we've probably seen this out. We probably should have killed it off by now, but we've probably done enough to see it out. And then, lo and behold, penalty to Poulton. And again, this one was deserved, it has to be said. Nick McCutcheon himself brought down in the box, and he then stepped up. And despite Nathan Abbey's correct guessing the right way and almost getting a hand to it, it was too powerful a shot and went into the corner. And again, despite both sides pushing for a winner, St. Neots had a good couple of chances. Jay Davis played well, and again, Nick McCutcheon again had another good chance late on. Unfortunately, it was not to be, and the final score was 1-1.
So, sixth in the league.
Mm.
Did you figure that one would happen at the start of the season?
No, but considering the way results went yesterday, St. Neots missed a golden opportunity. You know, Cambridge City lost, and a couple of other teams above them dropped points. So it was the perfect opportunity to move higher up. No, I wouldn't have said we'd have been six, considering this time last season we were on 2 or 3 points after 6-7 games or whatever, you know. No, I wouldn't have said that. But, you know, it just goes to show the rewards of a consistent and settled pre-season, you know. Mm-hmm. A couple of changes here and there, obviously, but, yeah. You know, kept the core of the side from the latter half of last season, got rid of some of the players who, you know, had... you know, their time had sort of, you know, they were in for a time but then left, you know, but replaced them with good players, you know. You know, in Drew Roberts and Chris Dillon, unfortunately, still out injured, along with Lewis Hilliard and Nathan Freyto, we've not actually been able to play in theory, our strongest 11 yet this season, because players keep getting injured or have been injured since pre-season, you know. So so we haven't, as of yet, been able to field our strongest 11, and yet we're still sixth.
You've got mid-table Biggleswade next Saturday, and then you've got the... is it a local derby, St. Neots? Histon's a local derby, isn't it?
St. Neots will probably count, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. we'll talk about Histon in a minute.
Biggleswade's always a tough place to go to. And again, yeah, they've had a good solid start to the season. You know, not spectacular, but they've had a good solid start. So, if we can come up, I think if we play like we did in the second half yesterday, then yes, we can win it. But it was just the players that he just happened to. You know, there was no one who was able to give that injection of pace and speed in the first half, and that's what it lacked. You know, and again, resulting in the second half. Much more open, flowing game. It was great. But I think we can get something at Biggleswade. I'm going to hold judgment on Histon, though, just to... Because Histon obviously haven't had the best of starts.
Yeah, but, you can say that.
But you just know that sort of game is going to be the game where they go, oh, let's, you know, let's turn it on today type of thing. So I'm going to reserve... I think we can get something away at Biggleswade, but I'll wait. I'll hold judgment on there. On against Histon,
and that's a nice lead in. So we'll take another quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Histon.
You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105.
So Steve and I were down at the landlords versus tenants derby, or the local derby, whatever you want to call it, where. To be fair to both teams, Histon got destroyed by Cambridge City. And I think the interesting thing was, it's the first time I've seen Histon play a competitive game. I saw a friendly at the start of the season, and saw the Cambridge City game, I can't remember what they call it, the Invitational Cup game, where Cambridge City beat them, but not by as many. But Histon looked dreadful, truly, truly Sunday League pub football dreadful against Cambridge City. And Brian Page said, you know, they were outclassed completely on the day. Just listen to this. This is what he said after the game, not particularly about the game, but just about the performance.
I think we've got undoubted ability in our squad. It's just over the last couple of games we've not shown that. Anybody who would have come and watched just the first four games would definitely have seen the quality in them. And in those four games, we could have arguably had 10 points in the first four games. And that's not me being silly. That's me being truthful. And I think any of the teams you play, who played us would say the game, say the same, sorry, that in those games, we could have took points one or three quite easily if we would have took our chances and defended a little bit better in crucial times. The last two games, we deserve nothing. We got nothing. Arguably, you might say that we deserve to have conceded the amount we've conceded in the two games because we've simply not been good enough.
And you get back on the training ground next week. What are you going to be looking for from the team?
Well, we've got to get a belief back in our ability. We've got to get a belief back in the way that we play. We've got to get a hunger to work for each other, to work for ourselves, to work for this football club. Like I said to the boys in the change rooms, you know, I'm certainly not going to shy away from the task in hand. Everyone knows it's going to be difficult for us now, but we've shown over the first four games that we're going to be competitive. We've got to get back to that. So on that training ground, we're going to work hard, we're going to put the effort in and make sure, come Slough on Saturday, we put in a much better performance than we have done over the last couple of games.
That's great. Thanks very much, Brian.
Thank you.
And I'm not sure whether it was a much better performance because obviously I didn't see the game, but interesting that it finished 10 men to 9 men in apparently what was an uneventful game. Three sendings off in an uneventful game is always interesting.
How can that happen?
No, I'm sorry. But they got a point, which is the key thing. So they doubled their points tally to 2. And I don't think they moved off the bottom because I think they were already one above Banbury anyway, or Bunbury. No, is it Banbury?
No, it's Banbury.
I mean, I keep saying this, and I know now I've got to be a bit less impartial, given the other three teams are in the same, you know, the other two teams are in the same league. Have you got to feel sorry for Histon? I feel sorry for Histon.
What do you think they lacked? Obviously, you've seen the game on Bank Holiday Monday with Steve. What do you think Histon lack in their team? Is it having that sort of Southern League experience, or?
If I'm entirely honest, from the performance against Cambridge City, what they lacked was 11 players who could play football. they were so totally outclassed by Cambridge City. It looked like it. I mean, it's experience. It's definitely experience. They've still got a massively young side. I think the oldest player on the team is 22. It's not necessarily that they can't play, although, as I say, on the evidence of what we saw, some of the passes that were being attempted were poor choices and they were executed poorly, which made it even worse. Goalkeeper had a day to forget, I think is the best way to talk about it. It's going to come down to experience. It's going to come down to if Brian believes, as I think he genuinely does. I mean, managers have to talk up their team. But, you know, Brian, from what I've ever seen of him, he's always honest and open about what they can achieve. And I think, you know, he genuinely believes they were unlucky in the first four games not to pick up, you know, he said up to 10 points. And they got one and he thinks they could have picked up 10, which kind of suggests that if his evaluation is genuine, then, you know, they've got the players to do it. But they just need to gel as a team and they need some experience. I think that's what you'd say.
Yeah, I think, you know, by the sounds of it, it's all right having the potential of being a good team and having these good young players if you're not going to follow through, you know, because unfortunately potential will only take you so far in the league, and the Southern League is a tough, I mean, you know, Steve at Cambridge City will vouch, you know, how tough that league is, you know, and again, with like even the playoff system, for instance, is all flawed and things like this, and there's only two teams that go up as well. No, was it two or three?
Two.
You know, it's tough. It is tough, and you know, you've got to be on your mettle in this league, or you get a hiding like Histon certainly did from Cambridge City.
I was going to say, you know, the one day that you don't want to have an off day, because you could maybe put it down to, you know, they had an off day. But the one day you don't want to have that is against an experienced side at this level, like Cambridge City.
I mean, the interesting thing is, compare St Neots last year to St Neots this year, the difference is small between a poor performance and a good performance, you know, and consistency. And, you know, if you're consistent, which St Neots didn't manage to be a lot of the time last year, then you don't get anywhere. But put some consistency together and look what happens. And I think that's what they've got to do. They've got to consistently put in a strong performance. And even if they continue to lose, you know, the big bigger games. You know, if genuinely they've got that, they've got the ability on paper, if they can translate that into some consistency of performance, you know, they will win some games and they will hopefully stay out of the danger zone. But
no, I mean, that is their biggest, that is their heaviest defeat, you know, of the season. Let's not forget, you know, they haven't been hammered every single week in that league. They've only sort of lost like 2-1 or 2-0, or, you know, they've drawn a couple of times.
Penalties and sendings off of, you know, Brian would argue has gone against them. And it was interesting, there was a sending off in the Bank Holiday game, which was, it was a 50-50 challenge, and as he said, I can't remember who it was injured the week before for a much worse challenge. There wasn't even a card given, and yet, you know, we get a sending off in that game. You know, and penalties have gone against them as well. So, you know, hopefully he'll turn it round, and you know, they'll start to put together some performances that mean they can actually get some points. So, you know, hopefully it'll all start to work for them. Now, Steve's not around, and he can't make a phone call in. So, unfortunately, all we've got from City is that they didn't manage to score, and they conceded an early goal and therefore lost 1-0 to Weymouth. What I do know is that their fund day raised just over £1,000, which they were really pleased with. That's the first time they've done that. So, £1,000 for a club at that level is, you know, a good amount of money.
Silver lining.
Unfortunately, the success didn't translate to anything on the pitch that day, but there you go. Just touching on last week, we had Cambridge Women's Football Club in last week, and they lost 2-0 to Enfield. They played a cup game against Cheltenham Town Ladies, and they won 3-1. And they've got the Luton Cambridge Derby next Sunday. So if you're looking for something to do, next Sunday afternoon, Ely City Football Club, Cambridge Women's Football Club against Luton. That could be quite a good one. So best decision. Good luck to them, and hope it goes. But yeah, 3-1 in the it was yesterday, I think the game, it was a Saturday game, or it might have been in the week. They beat Cheltenham Town Ladies 3-1 in which competition, I'm afraid I'm not sure. Just a note to Cambridge Women's Football Club, get your website sorted. all your links out to results and everything on the FA site point to the old league structure, and therefore there are no results that come in from that, so you need to get that one sorted with somebody to make sure that people can actually see your results. But just in closing, Leeds United and David Hockaday, you've got to say, he couldn't turn it down, he was right. Dreadful decision to take it, would you?
Well, as you two said before, he didn't do a brilliant job at Forest Green, did he? You know,
well, he was terrible at Forest Green. Exactly. You know, he had a lot of money there, and he wasted it on about 30 strikers. I thought one point they'd be playing a striker everywhere, but
1-0, is it? Yeah, 10 formation.
I feel a little bit sorry for him in some cases, because I think he's a fantastic coach. But, you know, as a manager, you know, and I think he'll learn from it. So hopefully he'll come back stronger, and he probably won't have a football club as big a shambles as Leeds are at the moment. It's a shame, because they are a great football club, Leeds United.
The potential of that football club is just immense. You know, the fan base, the size of the club itself, it's just...
The thing that amazes me about it is you pick someone like David Hockaday as a manager and everyone goes, who? Yeah. And it's like, you know... But then after, six games in charge, okay, he lost four of them or something, I can't remember it, but it's kind of like, if you're going to pick a manager that no one knows about and that you're gonna wonder whether he's going to make it, to get rid of him so quickly is kind of like it just says heaps about the decision to employ him in the first place, a poorly thought out decision. And you do feel sorry for him. Yeah. You just wonder whether it's kind of career suicide, having taken it and not made anything of it.
But you see, they did make a good point that any young coach who's got any ambition, that job is fantastic, you know, and you'd want to go for it, you know.
And he said he couldn't, you know, exactly. What do you do if Leeds phone up and say you want a job? No. You're not going to turn him down,
I thought he was unlucky. I saw the game midweek against Bradford on the TV, and I thought they actually played really well, and it was just two sucker punches right after they scored. that did him. So a shame, but I do hope he bounces back. I think, you know, I hope it doesn't scar him too much.
Yep.